In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as in the time of the work in the world of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, most believe in their passions and their desires. Most are committed to living in a world that is governed by the presence of sin and death, where those who are able to govern the forces of sin and death and desire and passion are those who prosper, and they have no interest in the end of that world. They have no interest in an end to a world where their commitment to power would be impossible. But God came into the world in order to, again, make the world as he meant it to be. And that means eliminating the rule of death and sin and the love of power by domination. Sometimes we think that people don't believe in the Christian faith because it is so difficult to verify. How can you show that God incarnate has power over death? But here, after the day of the raising of Lazarus, and because of the raising of Lazarus, is, as Archbishop Alexander so clearly explained yesterday, the consequence of Christ's having shown his hand, shown that he can give life even to someone who has been dead in the tomb 4 days, who has begun to return to the dust of the earth. If he is God, he is able to raise a man, a woman, from the dust, as he created them in the beginning, and he does. And everyone there sees and knows that he is able to do this. And many believed, but some did not. Some who preferred a world where death rules, where the threat of violence has power and influence, where prestige is based on being able to use that kind of power to gain wealth and importance. Sin and death must rule. And so this one who has shown that he has the power of life is a threat to everyone who is like that. And we are all like that, if the truth be known. Whether we are good at living in that kind of world, or whether we just wish that we were good at living in that kind of world, even those who absolutely know for certain, because they have seen Lazarus come forth from the tomb after 4 days, they don't have to believe that it's possible. They don't have to believe that the resurrection is possible. They believe. They know. Remember, the demons believe. They know. They have seen God raise the dead. But they know too that that means the end of the life that they are committed to living. They can't imagine, can't see beyond the living of that kind of life. Charles Dickens once said that worldly men are pulled to the ground by a kind of gravity, just like the gravity that holds things to the earth. There is a moral gravity, he said, that holds worldly men to the earth and does not enable them to see beyond the wielding and the use of power in this world. They are blinded even to their own true nature, as most of us are most of the time, that we are not created to live in a world where we are controlled by the presence of sin and suffering and death. And even when we have certain evidence that God can raise the dead, Christ, God incarnate, raised the dead in front of all of these people, and the ranks separated. Those who would be sheep went to one side of their own accord, and those who would be goats and remain as they were went to the other side. and opposed him and plotted to kill him and plotted to kill the one that he had raised from the dead, because others were believing on Christ and they were losing their power and influence in the world. And so they made themselves the enemy of life. They made themselves the enemy of Christ. And even those who praised him as he came into the city and laid palm branches before him and shouted, "Hosanna," he knew would turn on him. They were the same ones who would soon call, "Crucify him." Why? Because he disappointed them. He knew what they wanted. We pray for things, and when we don't get them, we turn aside from God. We don't believe in him. Not because God is not real. Not because he doesn't have the power of life in his hands. But because he will not give us what we want, what we desire. And so they turn on Christ, the Messiah, the King, because he will not wreak vengeance on the world the way the kind of king that they would like to have would do. Here is a king that has the power of life and death, and he will not rule in a way that those who are committed to a world where sin and suffering and death rule would rule. A king who would rule in that kind of world according to their understanding of how things are and have to be, and they can't see beyond that. That kind of a king would come with divine power of vengeance. The way people think of God in the Old Testament. You know, I had a student in one of my courses emailed me a question. It was a good question. Why is it that in the Old Testament there is this God of wrath who smites his enemies? But in the New Testament, when God becomes incarnate, he's not like that at all. He doesn't ride into Jerusalem with power in his right hand to smite the enemies of the unrighteous and make things as they ought to be. That's the kind of ruler, that's the kind of power that people want. That kind of rule, that kind of power, it continues the world as it was. It can't change the world. It can't change our hearts. The fact is that not even having certain knowledge of the power of Christ to raise the dead can accomplish metanoia, a change in our hearts, a reorientation from our love of a world where sin and suffering and death rule, turning away from that world, turning away from our selfishness, and turning toward the Christ of peace, the God who reveals himself as humble, the God who does not need to dominate the universe because he created the universe, and he created it to be good, and he created it to be just, and he created us to be good and just and love the good and the righteous, and not to try to dominate one another, not to try to bully one another, but to love with compassion and understanding as God loves us. We reject such a God. We don't pray to him because, is it because we know he can change the world for us? Is it because we know that he can change our hearts so that we don't fit into a world that is ruled by sin and suffering and death anymore, and we won't be able to resort to that kind of prestige and power? Because he can. If that is what we desire, he can change our hearts. And we respond in anger many times to God's effort to change our heart. But there is this good thing, even when we have resentment in us and we respond to others in anger rather than in love, that anger is like the rear guard action of the enemy, the last gasp, the final desperate effort to keep us from changing our hearts, to keep us from metanoia. And if we can get beyond that, if we can close down that anger, on the other side of that anger lies love and compassion and oneness with the Christ who comes into the city of Jerusalem riding humbly on the foal, the colt of a donkey. And then we will not be amongst those who cry, "Crucify him." At least during this week, when the better angels of our nature and those angels who are less war with one another, as we hear about the passion of Christ, in the end, we may come out on the side of our own resurrection, along with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.